Okay, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, that instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit, may be truly wise and ever joyous in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
St. Ignatius, pray for
us.
Father, Son. Okay, this session will be dedicated to two fundamental ideas. And one is on prayer. And the second would be is called principle and foundation. So we'll try to get through this as quickly as we can. And Mary will give you your handouts for the first week of the exercises. Okay, our spiritual exercises program can be compared to a tripod, which there are three basic elements. One would be the talk, which gives the orientation for the week. Second would be your prayer time. And we call this your holy hour. Not happy hour, but holy hour. It could be a happy holy hour. And then another essential element of our program is group sharing. Group sharing. So let's talk a little bit about your prayer time. Now this is the very heart of the program. It's what you do alone by yourself on a daily basis, your prayer time. Now, having given many, many talks in many years as a priest, I say this time and time again, is that I can teach you how to pray. I'm a teacher. I can teach you how to pray. I can talk to you about Theresian prayer, the rosary, Lectio Divina, the Psalms, a lot of different forms, styles, methods of prayer. I can do that. I can go through the Catechism of the Catholic Church. But I cannot give you the desire to pray. That I can't give you. And to be on a personal note, I'm thankful for good parents, but even as a child, I always liked to pray. And I have never met a child that told me that yet. But I always liked to pray. I didn't have to be forced. I liked to pray. And that's probably why I'm a priest. And that's the most common topic of my talks is always on prayer. This is basically I'm leading you into deeper prayer life. So I can pave the way. But I think starting off, you just have to beg the Blessed Mother to give you the desire to pray. I'll pray that you'll receive that gift, but you got to beg for it. Beg for a real desire to pray. Okay, so your prayer time on this, I'll talk about three elements: where, when, and how. Okay, the where, the when, the how. Let's start with the when. Obviously, there are 24 hours in the day. I would strongly recommend that you pray as early as possible. And for three reasons. One is imitation of Christ. Read Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 is a typical day in the life of Christ. You want to have a typical day in the life of Christ? Read Mark chapter 1. It's not a long chapter, but you see our Lord, He's preaching, He's exercising, He's doing miracles. But also you have a glimpse into His prayer life. The Gospel of Mark, he has the Hemingway style. He's very succinct and concise and to the point, okay? Not the Faulkner style, but the Hemingway style, okay? In which he says, Jesus got up way before dawn, and he was absorbed in prayer. Way before dawn, and he was absorbed in prayer. What does way before dawn mean? You're too generic. I'm a New Yorker. I like the hour. That's 3:30. Yep. 3:30. Now, are you going to get up at 3:30? Probably not. Maybe go to the bathroom, and that's about it. No, but that's about it. But Jesus got up very early. Jesus. In the lives of the saints, you see the saints, they slept less, they ate less, okay, they worked very hard, they're assaulted by problems and trials, but they're always filled with joy. That's a saint. Because they're relying on God, as the Greek poet says, in Him we live and move and have our being. They're absorbed in God. So, imitation of Christ. First hour of the day, give that to God. Second reason is St. Faustina, the diary, says this. This is a great modern saint. She said that she noticed in her life when she put off her prayer, either she didn't do it or she did it poorly. This is St. Faustina now, canonized saint. Either she didn't do it or she did it poorly. My mother would teach us, a job is worth doing, it's worth doing well. I've always liked that. No? So especially if you're going to be praying, you want to try to pray well. Remember Cain and Abel? Cain and Abel. Who gave God his first fruits, Cain or Abel? It was Abel, right? Cain gave the leftovers with bad will. Who are you, Cain or Abel? I think I know your name, Cain Abel, huh? Is your name Cain Abel? Hopefully it's just Abel, huh? Give the Lord your best. Give the Lord your best. And the third reason, and this once again is related to the call of the king and the two standards. You're going to meet these Ignatian topics down the road. Is I don't know if I'm an anomaly or not, but I find that as I get older, my life is a constant battle. You know, with you people, maybe everything is smooth sailing, everything is a piece of cake, no, everything is easy, no? No? Okay. We have three major obstacles in the spiritual life, the devil, the flesh, and the world. Those are the three enemies, no? The devil never goes on vacation. The flesh wants to rebel against the spirit, and the world wants to seduce us into believing that true happiness can be found here. Those are three constant enemies that are pursuing us relentlessly. The devil, the flesh, and the world. So I find my holy hour prepares me for battle. Spiritual life is a battle. And if you do that, you're going to notice that during the course of the day, you're going to have struggles, temptations, contradictions, but you're not going to be alone. You're not alone. Rather, you can experience that sweet, constant presence of Jesus at your side, as well as the Blessed Mother. Amen?
Amen.
That's a huge difference. In the modern society, even big cities like LA, New York, City of Mexico, Manila, people suffer from a crushing loneliness. No? Crushing loneliness. People are lonely. No? And one of the reasons is because they have not encountered Jesus Christ as their personal friend. In our confirmation program, I've actually written out the text this year, and what I'm focusing upon these teenagers, maybe some of your kids, is help these kids to have a deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we're aiming at in these exercises. Jesus is not some mythical, ethereal figure that lived 2,000 years ago, but he's alive today. Amen?
Amen.
He's alive today. So those are three reasons why I suggest that you try to get in the habit of doing your holy hour as early as possible. And this might mean you got to get to bed earlier. So instead of going to bed at 11 o'clock, go to bed at 9:45, okay? So you get up an hour earlier, right? So the exercises, one of the purpose of the exercises is they're called to order the disordered. Order the disorder. We all have disorders in our life. Order the disorders. The Holy Spirit is a God of order. Sin is disorder. Sin disorders our life. So there's a time. Crack of dawn. If not earlier. You might find yourself moaning and groaning as you get up an hour earlier. Called the capital of sin of laziness, la flojera. Huh? However, the human body can accustom itself to new patterns of living. Huh? We can change. What is the basic teaching of Jesus Christ? Metanoia, conversion. We got to change. Okay. Second would be where are you going to pray? I think I have a brilliant idea for you people. We open up these church doors here at 4:45 every morning. So I'll see you at 4:45 tomorrow morning, okay? Well, you less traffic when you're traveling at 3:45, right? Do you have a helicopter and a parachute? So if you arrive at 5 o'clock, from 5 to 6 there's an hour, then at 6 o'clock we've got our first mass. Amen?
Amen.
So we're celebrating our first mass for you at 6 o'clock. How about that? So see how we adapt to the needs of our people? How about that? Take advantage of it, huh? Okay, the ideal place is in front of the Blessed Sacrament. That's the ideal. That's what I'm pointing out. The ideal, you can pray anywhere. You can. But if you can pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament, there's an added grace. An added grace. Now, most of you probably can't because of your work schedules or your children. Then that means most likely you have to do it somewhere in your house. which you have to create in your home, your own sanctuary. And having visited many homes, the Latinos especially and the Filipinos have a tendency to really love a lot of beautiful images, which is fine. We're not an iconoclast nor Jehovah Witnesses, are we? No. We believe in images, right? Have an image like this, the Sacred Heart. An image like this, the Immaculate Heart. Have an image of Divine Mercy. You might even light a couple of candles. Burn some incense, but not marijuana. Even though it's legal. No. So you want to kind of create, as a French say, le milieu, the spiritual aroma of the setting. You have to set up. Now, to pray well, there's a lot of elements. You have to decide, I'm really going to do it with the help of God's grace. Then you have to do, these are called spiritual exercises. Spiritual exercises. Now, in the sports arena, no athlete is going to start playing sports without warm-up. High school and college, I played baseball, okay? I'm going to get out of there on the diamond without doing some sit-ups and push-ups and shagging some flies and running around the bases, no? You got to warm up. Otherwise, you're going to pull a hamstring and then you're out for 2 months, huh? So spiritually, we have to have what's called spiritual warm-up. And people can get flabby bellies, huh? But also we can be flabby in the spiritual life. We're called to do those spiritual push-ups or weightlifting, huh? To fortify our spiritual life. So there you are. You're in your place. You've got your text. And Ignatius says, start out by me pongo la presencia de Dios y imagina la mirada del Señor. If you understand Spanish. No? I place myself in the presence of the Lord and imagine that the Lord is looking at me. That's very important. Because Teresa of Avila says that prayer is basically a conversation between two friends. That's the definition of Teresa of Avila. It's a conversation of two friends that like to be together with each other and spending a long time together in conversation. That's the definition of Teresa of Avila of prayer. Conversation of friends. Okay, then say the Hail Mary. Invite Mary to pray with you and to pray for you. Invite Mary to pray with you and to pray for you. Then you got to pray to the Holy Spirit. Who is the spiritual director of these exercises? Not me, but the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Father. Romans chapter 8. So then you have the text. Now what we have is every day you're going to be meditating upon a specific text that we give to you. So you're not going to be dinging your novena del Santo Niño or praying your rosary or your litany. You can do that, but apart from your holy hour. So we're going to be giving you a biblical passage, and we're going to be giving you a commentary that I wrote on the biblical passage. So the biblical passage and the commentary. The biblical passage is most important. However, for novices in the spiritual life, it's important that they have also a commentary which explains the biblical passage. With both of that and the help of Mary, the help of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be constructing every day your holy hour. You're going to be constructing your holy hour. Now, I'd like to give you, I'm going to give you a method. Now, for us to learn things, you have to have a method. In LA, there are a lot of immigrants. I'll just give you an analogy, then I'll move into how to do it with respect to prayer. You're going to learn how to speak English or Spanish. There are three basic building blocks. You have to know grammar. You have to know vocabulary, and you have to know pronunciation. Those are three building blocks of learning a language. Okay, there are building blocks of learning how to pray. Okay? There's building blocks of learning how to pray. You have to have a method. So Ignatius gives us what is called the three powers of the soul, but lately I've been adding to that a writing of Pope Benedict XVI. Pope Benedict XVI wrote a work which is titled Verbum Domini. And if you know your Latin well, Verbum Domini means the Word of God, which he speaks about the importance of reading the Bible, and he gives a method within that. And he gives one of the classical methods that has been used over the past 1,000 years. It's called Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina. Now, what is Lectio Divina? The Pope gives the five words, and I added a baker's dozen. I add the sixth. So I put a little bit of more cream on the cake, okay? And they are lectio, meditatio, contemplatio, oratio, actio. And here's my baker's dozen, transformatio. Some of you are looking at me as somewhat bewildered. What the heck is that, Father? Well, I'll explain then. Let's take each word and explain it. Lectio means you got to read. 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 Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. We prefer, listen, O Lord, for your servant is speaking, huh? Nothing wrong with that, but we have to learn how to listen. And how do you listen? You listen through your reading. God is going to speak to you through the biblical text and through my commentary. Well, I don't hear God speaking to you. I'll read the text. That's the way God speaks. How was Ignatius converted? Through reading. How was St. Augustine converted? He was reading there. Totally legit. He went to the garden there and he started to read. He read Romans 13:13, do not give provision to the flesh, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's through reading that Augustine was converted. St. Anthony of the Desert, written by St. Athanasius, converted through reading too. Listen to the Word of God. So through reading, God's going to speak to you. So lectio. Then meditatio. What does that mean? Our model for that is the Blessed Virgin Mary. Luke 1 and 2. Luke 1, when the shepherds come to visit. After the shepherds come to visit, Mary starts to meditate and think about what happened. She was reliving the visit of these shepherds. What does this mean that these shepherds came and they brought us these gifts? You know, they heard these angels sing. Mary was thinking seriously about the meaning of the visit of these shepherds and the whole scene. Now, if you go to the original Greek, it would be ruminate. And ruminate means exactly what a cow does. You ever see a cow chewing its cud? There's a, I haven't seen it either, but I have pretty good imagination. A cow with this hay, chewing it and chewing it and chewing and masticating and pulverizing it. In other words, he's not gobbling it down, but he's chewing it away. So that's the way Mary was praying. She was thinking about it. And that's what you're going to be trained to do in these exercises. You have to put on a new mind. As Paul says, put on the mind of Christ. And to read and to think, what is the meaning of this passage? And you ask the Holy Spirit to help you out. The Holy Spirit's going to help you out. Okay, from meditatio, contemplatio. What do we have in that? Contemplate. Contemplatio means you have to utilize your imagination. Imagine that you're present there to the scene. We all have an imagination. Neither we use the imagination for good or we use it for evil. We all have an imagination. You can't say to your imagination, don't work, it's going to work overtime. Okay? Teresa of Avila calls it la loca de la casa. Okay? La loca de la casa, okay? So the exercise is going to help us little by little to train our imagination. That wild little kid to train the imagination. Then from contemplatio, oratio. What's that? Prayer. So oratio would be prayer. So you have an idea, and the idea goes from your mind into your heart. And then your heart is moved to some type of affection, which would be praise, worship, thanks, admiration, supplication. All these are affections of the heart. Then oratio is you open up and talk to God. There you've got the very heart of prayer. Open up and talk to God. Talk to him in your own words. Talk to him. And you can talk to him as long as you want. As long as you want. Hey, if you want to talk to him 3 hours, he's in no hurry. We live in a very frenetic, hurried, rush world where everyone is in a hurry. God is in no hurry. He wants to spend as much time as you want with him. And you got to believe this, that God loves all of you immensely. God has a great love for all of you. You're God's spoiled children, you might even say, the fact that you're here. He loves you immensely. But he wants your heart. You're never going to be able to give him your heart if you don't give him that time. You know, giving time to God is a manifestation that you love him. It is. You give him time. You're saying, God, I love you so much. I'm going to give you an hour every day for 10 weeks. I love you. Sometimes I'll give you even a little bit more because one morning I've got more free time. Give him an hour and 10 minutes. God's no hurry. When you're praying to God, God is not looking at his watch. He's not yawning. God is anxious. He's desirous to have this communication with you. Oratio. Then axio. What is that?
Action.
So the fruits of your prayer, your meditation, contemplation, you want to put into action. Best example? The Blessed Mother. Annunciation, contemplation, visitation, action. Mary took what she meditated upon. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy word. And the word became flesh and dwelt within Mary's womb. And Mary, what did she do? She went in haste to bring Jesus to others. So the exercises are going to transform our lives. And transformatio, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Amen? Yeah. No longer I who live, but Jesus and Mary who lives in me. So that is called Lectio Divina, taken from the document of Pope Ben the 16th, Verbum Domine. And it's a classical way of prayer. You can apply that when you're doing your holy hour. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, an example. Tomorrow, or you can even do your meditation today, as you like, is we're going to be giving you principle and foundation, and we're going to be giving you Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 is the vocation of Moses. So Moses goes before the burning bush. And as he's drawn close to the burning bush, he knows that the bush is on fire, but it's not being consumed, and he hears a voice, "Take your sandals off, you are walking on holy ground." So as you draw close, what happens is you don't hear the word Moses, but you hear the word, the name Sylvia, or Patty, or Liz, or Mary. In other words, you don't hear the name Moses, but you hear your own name. And as you draw close to that burning bush, you hear a voice, "Draw closer, draw closer, draw closer." And you draw close, it's no longer a burning bush, but it's the Sacred Heart of Jesus. He says, "Draw close, draw closer. Now rest in my heart." And there you are, you're resting on the heart of Jesus, burning furnace of charity that has this infinite love for you. And you're resting on his heart. And you're letting him love you. And you love him in return. Our problem is, as Americans, we always take the initiative, but John says God loved us first. Not that we loved him first. He loved us first. So you let God love you. And there are people here that probably have never done that in your whole life. Let God love you. He wants to love you more than you want to be loved by him. But he respects your freedom. Let him love you. There you are in your holy hour. The Sacred Heart has embraced you as St. John at the Last Supper. And you're listening to his heartbeat. And what is his heartbeat saying? "You are my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased." And what happens is you get up and the hour has already gone and you really haven't really said that much. You've just allowed him to love you and you've loved him back. What happens is you get up after that holy hour with a lot of peace, a lot of joy, a lot of security. And you leave that holy hour, you're no longer the same person. You leave, and the way that you see people is different, even in the traffic. No? The way you deal with people at work, it's no longer the same. The way that you deal with your husband and your wife or your teenage son, it's different. Why? Because God has changed you. We can't change ourselves. But God has changed you. He's changed you into a much more loving person. Did you understand that? That's what you're going to be doing. I've just given you one example out of thousands of examples of what could happen in your holy hour. But you have to give the Lord time. Give the Lord time, give him your heart, give him your goodwill. And after you finish, and look, you know, give the Lord an hour. Don't shortchange the Lord, okay? Because sometimes God gives you the most abundant graces at 59 minutes and 30 seconds. after you've gone through the hour. But if you get up, well, it's almost an hour. It's 39 minutes, okay? That's not almost an hour. That's 39 minutes. Give the Lord the hour. And after you've finished, open up your notebook and you're going to write what is called your revision. Revision means to see again. But you're going to be writing down how God spoke to you. What was God's message? What I've just gone through, well, I started off a little bit fearful, and I wasn't Moses. I heard my own name. I took off my sandals, and then I drew close to this bush, but it was really the loving heart of Christ. He embraced me, and I was there for a half hour, and I just got up with a lot of peace. And I feel I'm not the same person. And I recognize for the first time in my life that God really loves me. I knew it intellectually. Now I know it in the depths of my heart. Big difference. And one of the biggest journeys in our life is to go from our head to our heart. Americans tend to be very cerebral, very heady, huh? Got to go from the head to the heart. And the Holy Spirit can help you on that. Holy Spirit, he makes that transition from head to heart.
18 inches.
What?
18 inches.
18 inches, yeah. Some people have bigger heads though, some smaller. Okay. From there to there. Okay, you write that down. Then, when you meet next week in your group sharing, you're going to have groups of probably about 10 apiece, and you're going to have a facilitator in which you're going to be able to tell the other people in the group, two or three minutes, how God spoke to you. Which is great, because everyone receives a different inspiration. You're going to be enriching the group. God speaks to all of you in a different way. You Californians, you've never seen it, but a snowflake, every snowflake is different. Okay, but a snowflake, the pattern is different. Everyone has a different style and pattern of prayer. And the way, Teresa of Avila says, the best way to learn how to pray is by praying. Best way to learn how to pray is by praying. Just practice makes perfect, huh? Okay, there we have that. Okay, finally, Prince One Foundation. Prince One Foundation. This is the foundation of the exercises. And Prince One Foundation is, it's a philosophy of life. Now all of us have philosophies. Most people don't know what that means, but we all have philosophies of life. Philosophy is what motivates us to do actions. Our philosophy is motivated by our decisions and our actions. And that could be, as we said earlier, materialism. Or it could be consumerism. Or it could be hedonism. Or it could be rationalism. Or it could be many, many different philosophical systems. And these are all false. So we're going to give you the true one. And it's this. We were created to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God, and by means of that, to save our soul. There you have it. We're here to praise God. We're here to reverence God. We're here to serve God, and by means of that, to save our immortal soul. That's the purpose of our existence. Years ago, there was a catechism that came out when I was a little child. It was called the Baltimore Catechism. And it says this. Man is created to know God, love God, serve God in this life so as to be happy with Him forever in heaven. Remember that? Some of you are of my vintage, huh? You're here to know God, to love God, to serve God this life, so as to be happy with Him in heaven. It's almost the same. That's principle and foundation, the first part of it. So this principle and foundation has to, your thoughts, your decisions, and your actions after you finish this course will be motivated by principle and foundation. It'll be very practical. As we said earlier, the way that you raise your children, and some of you are grandparents, has to be motivated by principle and foundation. Now, do you really love your children? Más o menos, huh? Not really, huh? Do you? Here, what is the definition of love taken from Thomas Aquinas? None of you have ever studied Thomas Aquinas. You've got to study him. He's the greatest theologian in the world. Thomas Aquinas says, love is willing the good of another. Okay? Love is willing the good of another. What is the summum bonum, according to Thomas Aquinas? What is the greatest good? The salvation of his soul. So you love your children, you're always trying to get them to heaven. If you really love them. Everything you do, is this going to help my teenage daughter get to heaven? No, I'm not going to do it. Is this decision going to help my little boy to get to heaven? He's not going to like it, but it's going to help him. Yes, okay, well, you're going to do it anyway. Everything is in the light of eternity. Life is short. We're here a very, very short time, and either we go to heaven or go to hell. There's no other possibility. That's principle and foundation. It's going to help you to help your children to make the three most important decisions in their life. Well, the college they go to, the profession they choose, and their vocation. Those are the three most important decisions in their life. In this country, where are they going to go after high school? As we said earlier, they go to most colleges, they lose their faith. Is it really worth it? The profession that they choose. And then even more important, the vocation. How many people, when they got married, oh, I'm going to marry this person so that I can become a saint? Never heard that yet. Should be, though. That should be. What is the criteria? A lot of American girls. I want the 5 B's, huh? You know what the 5 B's are? I want a guy that got brains, brawn, beauty, and big bucks. The 5 B's. Yeah? It's called the 5 B's, no? Got the brains, beauty, brawn, and big bucks. That's the criteria. Not someone that's going to help me to get to heaven with my children. No, that's secondary. But you have principle and foundation. I'm going to choose a person that's going to get us on the highway to heaven with all the children that God sends to us. So it influences your way you think, the way you decide, the way you act. Principle and foundation. Second part of principle and foundation is called the lei of tantum quantum in Latin, which means the law of the proper use of created goods. Everything that God created is good. We read that in Genesis many times. He created it, it was good. If God created everything that's good, then why is there evil in the world? There's the following question. God, the essence of God is goodness and love, then why is evil in the world? It's not God's fault. There's evil in the world is because instead of using creation for its proper purpose, and yet we abuse it. Yep. We don't use it, we abuse it. So everything that God has given to us is good. But we can abuse it. You can go to a restaurant, and then you eat 10 hamburgers. That's wrong. Maybe eat 10 hamburgers. No? Nothing wrong with the food, but there's something wrong with you eating too much. So we're called to use, not to abuse. That can be applied to anything in the world. So you're called to kind of look at your life. What am I using properly? But what am I maybe abusing? What am I abusing? You want to use everything as a ladder by which you're ascending to heaven and not as a stumbling block. A ladder to ascend, not a stumbling block to stumble and fall. Okay, the last part of principle and foundation is what is called holy indifference. Holy indifference. And it's not indifference that you might think, kind of an apathetic, nonchalant, flippant way of living, where the younger generation, the whatever generation, okay? But rather, holy indifference is a desire to discover God's will and to do it, whatever it might cost. And the nations give you four categories. You don't want to prefer a long life over a short life. Health over sickness. Riches over poverty. Honors over humiliations. But you want to choose what is most conducive for the end for which you're created. The honor and glory of God and the salvation of souls. That's what is called holy indifference. So my friends, this is going to be the best adventure of your life. In the Mass I celebrate this evening, I'm going to be praying for you that this is going to be the best 10 weeks of your lives. So place everything in the hands in the Immaculate Heart of Mary and beg for the grace of magnanimity. Beg for the grace to be generous with God, because God loves you very much and He's giving you an extraordinary opportunity to go into the depths of His infinite love for you. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. I'm going to say now, I'm going to say the Hail Mary and ask the Blessed Mother to give us a real generous heart. We'll be open to the abundant graces that God has in store for all of us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among them, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be,
Okay, so Mary is going to be giving you the material, and she'll mention the fact that next Thursday is Thanksgiving, and we'll have a replacement day for that, which will be the following Friday. So obviously on Thanksgiving, we will not have our course, okay? So Mary will...